listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Okay, here's a question for you two. Rank the worst weekend. Texans, Cowboys, Texas, and Texas A&M. How do they rank?
Who had the best of the four?
Who had the best?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess...
That's a tough one.
I guess A&M because they
lost Alabama.
Scored 24?
And they lost... They were actually in it until
they were,
like,
it was tied.
Quarter.
In what?
In the early second quarter.
Well, they tied them at 14.
Yeah, they needed a lot of help. And then they... And then Alabama flexed right before.
Yeah, then it was 35-14.
Yeah, really and then quickly. It was a cover at half. They went from tied to down 21.
21, yeah.
That's the best?
That's the best.
I'll say Cowboys because they almost came back again.
Well, except Mari Cooper stopping on routes and allowing picks.
I'll say Texans because...
What?
Texans had the best weekend?
What?
I'll say Longhorns.
What?
Why?
They lost to TCU.
At home.
Who lost last week to...
I'll say...
Iowa State.
I'll say Dallas.
Pretty good, apparently.
Beat Oklahoma.
Yeah,
all right, apparently. OU. Let's throw OU in.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're not local. We don't care about them.
When was the last time
Texas and OU played and they had one win between them?
What do you mean? You mean Big 12 win? They both have.
Probably none because of the offseason
schedule. You mean Big 12 win? Because they have three wins between them.
Let me tell you, I was at the last time...
They have three wins between them.
Yeah. OU, Texas beat UTEP and Texas Tech, and OU beat Missouri State.
But that doesn't count as a win.
It does.
Yes, it does.
No, they're 0-2.
No, they're
not 0-2.
They're 1-2.
Not counting BCS.
You mean FBS?
You have to count those.
You have to. That's how they're going to make a bowl this year.
Clemson beats the Citadel every year, and you count
Clemson beats the Citadel every year.
Yeah, you can't count that.
And you can't count UTEP wins either.
Wait, they have three wins between them.
What the hell? What are you talking about? What counts?
They're in the championship.
No, they're not.
FCS.
No, they're not. UTEP's not in the FCS.
I think they moved there.
The championship league.
I don't think they'd win it.
They're not.
But I think they moved there.
No, UTEP actually has three wins this year. They're 3-1.
Stop.
They are. I'm looking at it.
Yeah, who'd they beat?
They beat SFA, Louisiana Monroe by three scores. Actually, four scores, I think. And then they'd be like, I don't know, Abilene Christian.
Those two of those are FCS.
That's fine. They still have three wins. That's UTEP. I'm not taking wins away from UTEP.
So the
worst weekend is, I mean, Texas.
So who had the best weekend?
The best weekend? I got to say A&M. At least you were tied with Alabama.
At least they tied Alabama.
I was listening to somebody, and he made a great point. He said, Nick Saban has been a top-tier coach and had his team as a top-tier program. Since really he's been at Alabama, but in 2014 he decided after watching spread offenses kind of take his team apart a couple times, I got to change the way we play football because you got to score points in this league and just overall to win championship. And he's done, and he did that. Jimbo Fisher, when he won a title in 2013 with Texas A&M, he still plays the same brand of offensive football. He's like, oh, we did it there. I'm going to keep doing it. He hasn't adapted, and you can see it. Also, A&M has some deficiencies in a lot of important positions. But Jimbo Fisher, they run the same type of offense. They added some spread elements because Kellerman's athletic. But no progression. I feel like he's stagnant offensively.
You think?
There is that.
You think that like, the team.
Not Kellerman, Jimbo
he's talking
himself.
About Jimbo.
Yeah, no.
No, yeah. Jimbo stayed with the pro-style approach. And, I mean, Kellerman is he's no different than
fine.
He was a sophomore. There's no growth there.
No, there's no growth.
He was fine on Saturday. I mean,
he made a couple nice throws. He just can't consistently hit open targets. And yeah, I mean, I think the question about Jimbo is not ready to overhaul his. He has offense philosophy he believes in, and we'll see what happens with it because. You know, it was bad against Vanderbilt. They did do some good things offensively, look bad defensively against Alabama. They don't have much speed on the back end.
No,
they can't rush the quarterback.
They can't run with anybody.
They can't run, and they don't affect the quarterback with pressure. So that's a bad combination.
So let's call your wife and see what she thought about the Texas game.
Nope. It was bad. She said, don't record me. Don't put anything on the internet. Don't post anything.
Well,
I'm like, I don't want to post anything. I did have some video recordings of her during the Texas Tech game. At the end, she ran after they won in overtime. She ran to the TV because she was so mad at Tim Brando and Spencer Tillman. Mm-hmm. She got so mad during the broadcast, we had to turn the volume down. She didn't want to hear them anymore. This is the Tech game.
Mm-hmm.
And she, although they did this one too, but she ran over, she ran to the TV.
And screamed at the TV.
And flipped the TV off.
Okay.
Double rotted the TV. And I was recording, but right as I was about to get to flip it off, Madi saw me recording, so she shut the blinds. I was, of course, outside hiding to record.
Like and a peeping Tom.
Yeah, like a peeping Tom looking
at your own house.
I know, it was a great video, and my daughter ruined it.
You should have yelled.
I think you should
You should have yelled at her like Dennis Quaid.
I think that video.
Golly.
It wasn't real, but it was great. I think psychology.
Whoa, that wasn't real?
No.
Are you serious?
The whole thing was a setup.
Yeah.
It was
behind the scenes footage of a Funny or Die video.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I think you should ask.
That was real.
With your wife, you should go, are you really mad at the announcers, or are you projecting your anger from Tom Herman? You should get into psychology.
She'll just hit me with an STFU.
Aren't you really upset with Tom Herman that this many years into it, he's still
she's getting upset.
In rock fights with Texas Tech and TCU?
She's getting upset.
Worst situations, the Aggies, the Longhorns, the Texans, and the Cowboys.
The Aggies can always fall back and say, we're in the toughest division in football. They can always fall back on that.
They can.
The Texans can't say that. The Longhorns.
They're also locked into Jimbo.
That's true.
At 7.5 years.
But
you're making some really hard. Like, Texas, you can always recruit and get better, but Herman has to be careful or he could be out after this year.
Well, let's take a look at predominantly Texas players the best. Oklahoma gets the best. Texas gets the best. Texas A&M gets the best. And all three of them suck.
Ohio State would say, no, we take your best players, like J.K. Dobbins.
Well,
and Okuda will take your best players.
They get it here and there.
Yeah, no, that's true.
They get the elite ones.
Predominantly Texas teams.
They get the best ones.
They
get the top picks.
They get Okuda. They get Dobbins. They take their best ones.
Yeah, but not enough.
Who's
of
your favorite Longhorn early?
You should still be able to put together
You should.
A wonderful team of Texas players.
You should.
You should, but they haven't.
But when you look at Florida players that are going to Alabama, when you look at Louisiana players, when you look at Mississippi players, Georgia players, that's where the Southeast Conference is getting their guys, the best teams in the Southeast Conference.
You bad-mouthing our state?
I'm bad-mouthing the state. The team, the players here have sucked.
Well, the universities have sucked developing them because you can't tell me that. Why does Ohio State come down here and take guys if they don't think they're good enough? And Ohio State has no problem developing. Maybe let's look at the coaches. Picking the wrong players.
Predominantly Texas, though. They're not predominantly
I'm talking
Texas.
About the players
talking
they
about the,
pick.
The top guys.
And developing them. Right. Why?
Well, hey. Kyler and I mean, we've had some.
And he had to leave the state. Handle, be good.
But again, he went to a place where he was developed. And
that's what I'm saying. I'm not blaming the players if everyone comes down here and takes them. Let's blame the universities for not being able to develop them.
They're not developing them either. They're not. They're just not. And we got to get. Let's get your wife on here. I want to hear what she thinks.
Not interested in that.
I want to hear what she thinks about what's going on at the University of Texas.
Not interested in that. Not one single bit.
We had our. How nice was I that I didn't say one thing to Raheel about that game. Not one thing.
Yeah,
am I not a great guy? I moved into number one.
Am I not a great guy?
Why? Because you refrain from trying to bash a guy while his team is in a dogfight and then loses?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a wonderful person.
I'm a great person.
Okay.
No. That puts me at the top of the list.
You're not at the top of any of these lists.
No, the problem with you are you're immune to this because unless you're betting on the game and we don't ask you those questions beforehand, you can choose any team and go, man, loved how my weekend went because I root for this team because of this connection, this team. You're Teflon when that stuff happens.
Lance has a wonderful service.
Let's take a look at Texas top.
They gave us the Lions this weekend.
Sports reporter, nice job. And Cardinals.
A-holes.
How about this? Here's just the tops from 2017. Tell me if these guys are any good. Marvin Wilson?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
He's Florida State.
Not playing well
Jeff
right
Okuda?
Now.
Yep.
He's Oklahoma State. Walker Little? I mean, he's at Ohio State. Walker Little?
Yeah.
He's Stanford. Baron Browning. Where's Baron Browning?
Ohio State guy, too?
Kalavon Chaisson?
Mm-hmm. LSU.
Was he any good?
Yeah.
That's LSU. J.K. Dobbins?
Mm-hmm.
Ohio State. these guys look pretty good. Anthony Hines, inside linebacker, Texas, he opted out. Brock Wright, I don't know him. Jack Anderson, guard, Texas Tech. Robert Barnes, let's see, Terrell Shavers went to Alabama. Texas A&M, Texas Tech are the only two Texas schools of the top Texas players. Kerry Vincent, LSU, he opted out. He's going into the pros. Paulson Adebo, he's a cornerback from Stanford who will be drafted this year. He was number 17. Sam Ellinger was 19. Tylan Wallace?
Pretty good.
Yeah, he's Oklahoma State. Eno Benjamin, remember him?
Arizona State, yeah. Running
Arizona
back.
State. He's in there. CeeDee Lamb, is he any good? Oklahoma. Where are all these players staying in state? These are all pretty good players in the state of Texas in 2017. They all left.
Herman's put a fence around it.
It doesn't feel... Now, that was 2017, to be fair.
Yeah.
I don't even know...
Well, I'm going to tell you yet? This. Texas has got... I did the Touchdown Club preseason. We did it virtually. But A&M and Texas have got some good players. I mean, some of the top players, and we'll talk to Jimbo about it tomorrow, as a matter of fact. He can't mention them by name, but I can tell you this. He got some beef coming in. He got a couple of tackles.
Are they pass
and a
rushers?
Tight end.
Huh? Does he have any pass rushers and cornerbacks coming in?
He needs some speed, I think.
And people to affect the quarterback. By the way, yes, Texas gets good players. Caden Stearns, five-star.
First-round pick,
left
Oklahoma.
The state. But B.J. Foster, five-star. They look great covering TCU guys.
Laviska Shenault, three-star, Colorado. I saw him making a bunch of catches for Colorado for Jacksonville yesterday. I mean, there's some talent coming out of here, and it ain't staying here. At least it wasn't in 2017.
Well, just look at the draft.
Everything's changed now.
Look at the draft every year.
Everything's changed now.
That's a ton of Texas players.
Look at all the Texas.
I don't think this state has failed. I don't think the state has failed.
It's the schools.
Anybody. Yeah, it's the schools are not developing them very well.
And
right
players
now.
Probably. Now, the Texas will get their five stars, but if you are a big time player and Ohio State comes calling, outside, unless you were born a Texas person or an A&M person, if you're open, why don't you stay here and play?
Because of how great the teams are right now.
And the development you'll get.
Yep.
Sure. Jalen Waddle, by the way. Where did he go to school?
He went to Episcopal.
Yeah.
Jalen Waddle's pretty good, too. He'll be a first-rounder.
Yeah. Well, you know who's a first-rounder? Who's your first choice when you're going to buy a home? Lance Loken. That's right. You want to talk about a five-star. Dude is a five-star. And if you're looking to buy a home or sell your home, you got Lance Loken. The Loken Group, it's time after time after time. 3 days on the market, 11 showings. Evan sold his house for $10,000 over list price. That is a big, big deal, people. Now, you don't want to sell your home? He'll make you an immediate cash offer. What happens if your agent can't sell your home and the listing expires? You need to go with the Loken Group, who consistently sell homes with other agents that they couldn't sell. If your home has been on the market and you're like, well, it just isn't going to sell, go with the Loken Group. I'm telling you here and now, they are going to get top dollar for your home because they have more buyers than everybody else does. They're with the Keller Williams Platinum Group, the number one in Texas, number two in the world with the Keller Williams Platinum Group. And that's saying something because Keller Williams is huge, huge, huge. You're looking for the best way to sell that home. You're going to love Lance Loken. Everybody does. You're going to love him because he's going to get you the most money for your home. 281-861-4624. 281-861-4624. Or the Loken Group. LOKEN. TheLokenGroup.com.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I mean, at the end of the day, it is what it is. I mean, we're 0-4. Just got to keep fighting, keep pushing forward, you know? And that's it. But for me personally, I'm not going to let it take my joy. I'm going to continue to live life, continue to work my ass off. Continue to come in here every day and play football. So, that's it is what it is. But at the end of the day, my joy, my spirit, my smell, my energy, the love of the game is still going to continue to be there. So that's how I see it.
So that is kind of, I don't know that's the right thing to say. I'm not going to let it affect my joy.
It does ring a little, there's a twinge of, ooh, you want to say that?
I'm happy.
If he attributes that to, I'm going to still play ball, I'm going to keep going out there and trying to win, that's fine. But when people hear joy, they generally think, oh, Deshaun's just going to go home and have a good old time.
He's fine.
Yeah. I don't know if that's what he meant. He might just mean, hey, I love the game and I'm going to continue to put everything into it. But that initial thing is like, ooh, hey, man, we'd like to see you be affected by losing.
Yeah.
Like, people would rather it have him have the JJ attitude where JJ didn't really want to answer questions and he was, like, pissed or clearly pissed. But it's whatever. I'm not looking too much into it, though.
No, but to me, when I heard that, the first time I heard that, I was like, Deshaun, that's a bad look. Deshaun, you know, I know your joy. Well, of course you got joy. You were guaranteed $75 million or whatever it is. I mean, yeah, I'd be happy. You know what? I'm not going to lose any joy either. I'm going to be joyful if I have all that money. But, you know, this 0-4 thing, I mean, I got to be pissed. You know, JJ's got his 100, but JJ's pissed. And, you know, I'm not going to let it affect your joy? Okay. All right.
It should, if you love the game, and I think Deshaun loves the game.
I think he does, too. I just think it's you know,
it's never good words. When you have to compartmentalize the football side so it doesn't mess with your joy. That's probably not good for what's going on the football side.
No.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I like JJ. Hey, we got to do something different around here.
Do you think Jimmy Butler goes through life and says, you know what? I'm not going to let this loss steal my joy. No, it's a joy thief for Jimmy Butler.
I mean, tens of people saw him do it.
Tens?
Man, their ratings?
They're 2.9 million.
Last night?
No, the game before.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah.
Okay. What is that?
Oh, no, wait.
No, I'm not sure that they did. No, they
No, had... I might be thinking of baseball ratings for. No, I'm thinking of the Yankees.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the Yankees. No. You're probably right.
Have been pitiful.
Yeah, it wasn't. That was the Yankees ratings.
Yeah. So, they're.
In comparison to years past or just overall? Like, because we've had this discussion about how people may not care as much about sports as before.
Game two of the NBA Finals between the Lakers and Heat collapsed with 4.5 million.
Oh. That's still a 4-5 rating?
It's down 68% from last year.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not good.
And that was a Canadian
team. Down 68%.
That was a Canadian team.
Yeah, but they weren't heads up with the NFL. Last night's rating is probably going to be even worse.
Game one was a 4.1.
Especially since the Lakers were up 2-0.
You still got a lot of people watching, though. I mean, it's still good. I mean, it still beat the Yankees. 4.1, and it's not great by the standards of the NBA Finals, but there's still plenty of people watching. And Jimmy Butler did have a triple-double. Like, you have injuries, and Jimmy steps up and says, I'm just going to take over.
How did game one go? Because you think about the circumstances. Lakers were up by 30 at one point almost.
Yeah, 4.1.
And then you hear that two of the Heat's starters aren't playing, and there's already a perception that the Heat are going to get walked over.
Oh, I mean, I was checked out on that game, basically. Yeah. I mean, but it was a game, so it changes things.
But as far as game two is concerned, which we have the ratings for, and they weren't great, a lot of circumstances lead to people like, whatever, I'm not watching this. They don't even have two of their best players in the game.
I think there's just not excitement about the season. I think a lot of sports, we talked about this, a lot of sports have been suffering because the ratings have been down for sports. I haven't seen football yet. I'm sure it's out there. I'll check with football. But, you know, I have a graphic that shows baseball and basketball have been trending down for a few years now. And it's not brand new. And they were especially hurt. I think the pandemic is you have to take the most people don't care about the TV ratings, to be honest with you, unless you're in the media business or it's for politics now, I guess people look at ratings. But I think the pandemic is going to hurt ratings across the board in most sports. In most sports. And the NFL has to be careful now. Now they're actually, there's going to be a meeting between all the owners, GMs, and head coaches today with Roger Goodell in the league. And they're going to discuss, hey, these are the protocols. What's going on? Because the Titans are now up to 20 people. And you have Cam Newton tested positive. And you have the people with the Chiefs tested positive. So, well,
but what I heard that the NFL told them is tough. Deal with it because we ain't losing that television money.
No, but they're telling them, are you
Cam
guys
ain't there? Guess what? Brian Hoyer, come on in. Oh, you got 20 guys? Guess what? Those 20 ain't playing. You better pick some guys up because you're playing next week, Titans.
Yeah, this ain't North Texas.
No, you ain't just stopped.
No, but here's the thing, though. The problem is the NFL has to make sure that they get this under control because you don't want it spreading from team to team.
Hell no.
And their whole thing is you guys are clearly people are not staying under. You guys have been stepping out. Clearly some guys have been stepping out. And there's going to be talk about putting everyone up in a hotel and taking them away from the family stuff and just doing hotel visits. And that's it. And doing it like a little mini bubble for every team in a mini bubble. And I think that could end up happening. If you start having an outbreak like the Titans had on another team, they may go to mini bubble scenarios.
Yep. 824 ESPN and 97.5. Let's get Jeff in here. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys.
What's going on?
I just wanted to get y'all's thoughts, especially Dell, since it's the Heat. How do you think Daryl Morey looked at Jimmy Butler's performance? Do you think he was watching with some friends and like everybody's like, man, he had a great game. And then Daryl Morey's like, but he shot no threes. You know, like it kind of just puts a big stamp on how Daryl Morey's philosophy probably needs to change, I feel like. And I just want to see what y'all thought about that.
I don't think it's going to because it's not just Daryl Morey. The league is trending in that direction. The Lakers are shooting a bunch of threes. People have done the research on it, Jeff, and the research tells you that when it's all said and done, hitting threes at a certain clip is just better than shooting twos in mid-range. I mean, the numbers say that. I just think that you have to develop every aspect of your game because when the threes aren't falling, you still have to find ways to get points. And but you're not going to get away. Most teams are trending towards shooting more threes. It's just more and more guys are doing it. As analytics have taken over the NBA, they've run the numbers, and that's what they find to be the most effective. Is it the prettiest to watch? No. And would it benefit? Now, the Warriors had great three-point shooting team, but they weren't just 1-4 sets. Whereas one guy driving dish, I mean, they had motion game going. They put guys on the move some. The Warriors ran a legitimate offense. It wasn't just one guy trying to be hyper-efficient and shooting a ton of free throws and making threes like it is with James Harden. That's not what the rest of the league is. So, I don't know. But in terms of getting away from threes, that ain't going to happen. Teams are going to keep shooting threes.
Daryl Morey's sitting over here. Hey, what the hell? Bill O'Brien's 0-4? And I'm catching it from Jeff.
What the hell is Jeff calling about me for?
What is
about the Texans.
Texas
Bill O'Brien's like,
that's right. Shoot too many threes. Shoot too many threes. Talk about that.
Well, Jimmy did do something historic. Only person and only perimeter player, because Shaq has done it and Kareem had done it, to put it that type of game without shooting a three. 40 points on 70% shooting and a triple-double. I mean, it's the bubble, and like you guys said, how many people watched it, but it's one of the more crazy, one of the craziest score lines in NBA history as far as the moment and how he did it.
Injury.
Yeah.
To his teammate.
He was spectacular. The mid-range game was going, got in the paint as often as he wanted to. And
was guarding LeBron.
Yep. Is this a series again?
I mean,
on paper it is.
Sure, but you will lose game four, then it's not. So game four determines if it's a series.
Yep.
And you got to hope that, I don't know if Bam comes back or not. Dragic seems farther away. But the issue is Anthony Davis picked up those early fouls and seemed disengaged. And then they were still pushing you until the middle of the fourth quarter, of course, because Kuzma and Markieff Morris are hitting jumpers, which is like, what? What's that? But the Heat decided we're going to pack the paint. You're not going to beat us. You're not going to beat us up anymore. If let Kuzma and Markieff Morris shoot. And we're gonna live with that. And because of Jimmy's game, they were able to pull one out.
Is it real that fans have a petition that Kuzma doesn't get a ring if they win it all?
It was on change.org, yeah. And I guess it was brought up in the post game.
Why?
Because they hate him.
What the
hell? Kuzma's hated by the fans there. He left Anthony Davis hanging yesterday. Anthony Davis tried to give him a five, and he just walked right by him, and Anthony Davis gave himself a self five. He stood there with his hand, and he goes...
That's a little jab. That's a little jab at Anthony Davis.
So how about Side Jab? Side Jab has been doing great. You guys have been calling him, and I'm very happy about that. We had Hector come up to the station the other day, and we talked a little bit about mobile phones. So here's the thing. Your mobile optimization is huge. We're at about 80% of internet time is spent on phones and iPads, you know, mobily, and not on desktops or PCs. So when you think about it, you've got to have a website. You're used to developing it. You may be used to thinking about it from a, you know, a desktop standpoint. They develop the mobile in first and then the desktop secondly, so that it's completely integratable. And that's a big, big deal. And that just goes into the things that, you know, your brother-in-law or somebody at your job place who has been reading up on how to make websites, they're going to miss so many steps that they need to have to make sure that your site is not only being viewed and consumed the way it's supposed to, but also those potential business leads are turned around and they can turn into opportunities for money for you. If you're a small to medium sized business, go with the pros right here in Houston that have been doing it for over two decades. SiteJab. SiteJab.com, SiteJab.com. Let them build you a website today.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 832 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Yeah, the intern, he's got his Astros hat on. I got Astros shirt on today. You guys are... You don't even care that the Astros
are
in the divisional series with Lance McCullers on the mound, which I told you first was going to happen.
I've been called too much of a Lance McCullers stan, and that's just not true. I just I say Lance McCullers struggles when he struggles whenever you have a bad inning against him. But Lance McCullers also has pitched really well, and you have been saying Lance McCullers is terrible on the road. Seen anyone take credit for Lance start and then bashed him?
Yeah,
bashed him earlier this week
Lance
on the road.
McCullers.
I saw someone.
It's the Lances. Apparently, his name is Lance.
I'm pro Lance McCullers
Lance
starting.
Berkman.
You're anti Lance, Lance McCullers.
He loves Lance Bass too.
No,
Lance Bass. Yeah, you are.
No,
I've seen some. I saw.
There's a lot of anti Lance people in here, and this is one of them right here. Anti McCullers, anti me, anti Berkman.
I saw someone tweet out, "Oh, Lance McClowney is starting." I was like,
"Yeah." Text to Ocho called him. He's comparing him to Jadeveon Clowney.
Like, that's not nice.
That didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. The Astros.
I didn't know what he meant by it, but it didn't seem like a compliment.
It didn't seem like a compliment. No, the Astros are. I guess they're in the playoffs, right?
Yes. What?
They're playing a playoff game. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, today. Yes.
What time is it?
It's at 3:07. First pitch.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. First pitch. 3:07.
Get excited, everybody.
Chris Bassett against Lance McCullers.
Chris Bassett.
Lance Bass.
Does anyone
Lance Bassett.
Would you be able to recognize Chris Bassett?
If he was on my big toe?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say, Chris Bassett, get off my big toe. You got to pitch today.
Actually, stay on my big toe. I don't want you pitching today.
I don't want him pitching. I don't. Longhorn Keith wants to get in here, talk about his Longhorns. What about them horns, Longhorn Keith?
Bro, let me just tell you, like your wife, I was watching the game, and I literally threw some at my TV because I'm so over Tom Herman. Like, as bad as the Texans fans are over Bill O'Brien, I am done with Tom Herman. More importantly, I'm done with this whole idea of these recruiting services who continue to hype up you know, Texas and the polls hyping up Texas. And more importantly, we as fans, I'm a realist, but this year I really believe it's a shortened season. There's COVID. There's a great chance that Tom Herman could literally run it. But oh, no, not Tom Herman. He continues to run teams out. This happens every single year. They have one, not two, but at least three games where his team comes out and they look like they've never tackled before. Oh, they don't know how to run routes. And I'm going to tell you the difference with what you guys talked about earlier, man, when you said these players that you listed, Lance, that have left the state since 2017 or that recruiting class. So in fairness, those guys are five stars, and B.J. Foster, I think Dale mentioned, and all of these defensive backs we got a couple of years ago who were, you know, trying to bring DBU back. That's nonsense. These guys are more Instagram DBU than dang it, actually on-the-field dogs. The difference between the guys that are actually leaving the state and going playing at other schools and the five-star and four-star players we're getting, they're dogs. What we're getting is some guys who have – they think they have a ride. And so they're prima donnas. And you look at the game. This is not fairy tale. Watch the damn game. B.J. Foster runs around, and he's playing like freaking tag. I'm like, and every single player got hurt. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with this damn team? You talk about physical condition. You talk about the best – we got the best facilities. We got the best weight room. And I'll be damned if every single player didn't get hurt. But you look at TCU. Garrett Patterson has two players in the DB, in the defensive backfield. Two! And they shut – listen, Joshua Moore, you could have swore he was going to win the Biletnikoff Award in the first two games of Texas play. If he caught one pass, I'd be amazed. He was quiet as a church mouse because he's not a dog. There's no dogs on this team. Not one dog. We got a bunch of church choir boys, but no dogs. And that's the difference. You take a look at Nick Saban. Nick Saban, he loses coordinator after coordinator, player after player. All he does, and listen, I understand, no one can compare to Nick Saban. But you got to have a litmus test to say, if you want to be on that level, you have to get a coach in that knows how to deal with transition, turnaround, and more importantly, coach players. Chris Ash is horrible. He is a horrible defensive coordinator. He was a horrible head coach. I don't know why the hell he comes over here. And I'll just say, in fairness to the Big 12, is my last point. In fairness to the Big 12, yes, there's a lot of offensive score. We go through this every single year. Big 12 don't play defense, and then we get into bowl games, and we see there's a contrast in comparison. Sometimes we win, sometimes we lose. But at the end of the day, I'm just done. So done with Tom Herman. I'm done with every offensive coordinator he brings in. And this stuff about he's got this fence around Texas, this is a true story, guys. Check it out. One of the reasons why a lot of players are not picking Texas is because Tom Herman – has gone outside of Texas. And one of the players that he's went outside to go get is Georgia defensive back, Tiata Watson, has not put in his transfer request because he's not getting any playing time. But more importantly, he can go play somewhere else. This is ridiculous.
That's as mad as I've heard Longhorn Keith in all the years he's called the show. He's never been that upset. And he's got a right to be. I mean, you know, I was looking through the recruiting. We went through the 2017 class, but the 2018 class is all Texas and Texas A&M. Like, they put a fence up in 2018, and yet, like, the Texas top four guys, I think, were safety, corner, safety. Where's the defense? Where's the great back-end attack from the Longhorns? It's not there.
No, four and five stars should be on the field already. From the 18
well, they
class.
Should be a big. They yeah. should be factoring a big against Texas Tech and TCU.
Yeah. Except they're not. It's game day, baby. ALDS. ALDS.
Not one call.
Not one Astros call. About Astros taking care of business. And listen, advantage Astros playing at Dodger Stadium. The Astros have been there, done that in the postseason. A lot of these guys have, right? They don't have to play. They're not playing in Oakland, where they've had no success this year in that cavernous park. They have had success against Oakland here. So not playing him in Oakland is huge. This is they show that the bats are, I don't want to say alive so much, but the bats are better, I think. We'll see what this time off has done, because they've had a nice long rest now. They've got their rotation the way they want it, I think. They're going with McCullers today, and they are going to throw Fromber tomorrow. So that's good. And we'll see. Okay. But they're down. If they're up 2-0 or even tied at 1, who do you want in game 3, Greinke or Urquidy?
Urquidy.
Yeah. What if you're down 0-2? For sure you want Urquidy.
I actually want Greinke then.
Really?
Like the game 7, I actually think Greinke can nut up and give you. Actually, there's something about him stepping in. I feel like I'll get something consistent, but it might only be a. It might only be 5 innings.
Then, if you want him in an elimination game, then you would want. Why wouldn't you want him in? If you're up or tied.
Well, because I just think that Urquidy's the better pitcher. I just think when it's nut cutting time, I don't think Zach Greinke's a phased by anything.
I don't think that Urquidy will either. He went to Tampa and looked great. Yeah, that's true.
But both of them did. He had a good game against Washington where he was pulled out too early. And then Urquidy had a must-win against Washington. So, they both have. You know, if you're going to go McCullers first because he hadn't pitched for so long and he's been really good lately, I have no problem with Fromber, who is probably the best pitcher on your staff this year. I have no problem with Fromber being the number two. No. I have no problem with it. I would say, if you got a chance to, if it's 1-1, I feel like you go Urquidy. And although you are lefty-lefty, and you could break it up righty-lefty-righty-lefty by throwing Zach Greinke third. But I don't know. You just don't. Zach Greinke has to be very fine with his pitches because he doesn't have.
Well,
he
only got one lefty, so.
Yeah, I mean, you break it up righty. Yeah,
well,
righty-lefty, righty-righty, and then and then you have Javier. You have a bunch of righties, but you got to break it up. I think righty-lefty-righty, and then you have. But I don't know that it's not Urquidy. Well, I think that's why. But also, Fromber's been really good.
He's been great. He's been great.
But who would you go? You'd go Urquidy 3?
I go Urquidy 3.
And Zach Greinke.
Greinke? No. If we need you in game 4, okay. Then you got Zach Greinke. You're like, good. We got Zach Greinke.
Let me ask you this question. Is there any chance that you would go? No, this is not going to happen. It will not happen. What about the idea of going Greinke backing up McCullers? And you go McCullers, Greinke, because Greinke on 4.5, he could throw 4 innings, finish a game, could be a win. He could then pitch again later. He could start for you later in the week.
Yeah, because he doesn't throw all that hard.
No.
I would imagine he'd be able to bounce back in 3
days. They would never do that, but I think he physically could do that.
I don't know why they wouldn't. I mean, if they're going to throw, well, Javier is obviously a lot younger.
I think you have to reimagine
he's got a bullpen experience.
To me, you have to reimagine a bullpen.
Yes, you have to.
You got to reimagine a bullpen because going to regular bullpen guys has not. It didn't work when you won a World Series in 17. The bullpen stunk.
Yeah,
and it was an issue last year. It was an issue in 18. It was an issue in 19. This has been a consistent issue. Now, a lot of times they were overworked. Now they're just not very good.
Right. So, it's been a while. You haven't mentioned my hair in a long time.
Yeah, so, just you and Fred both are.
I know.
Just, so I like when y'all take your. I like when y'all go and you take your hair and you rub it against each other's hair, like do like hair brothers.
Okay, honest opinion. Whose looks better, mine or Fred's?
Well, I got to roll with Team John. You're on my team, so I'm going to go to you.
Dell?
I don't look at either one of you, but I haven't seen Fred in like years, to be honest with you. But I guess I have to go with the person I've actually seen. I had to go with Doc Linville's hair over both years.
Doc Linville, also, he's not only the surgeon, but he's also a client.
I know. That's why I picked
him. He had the neo grafting done as well. And he looks fantastic. And I want to tell you, he looks fantastic. And most everybody, now, I mean, fantastic. I'm not going to say that about Fred because his hair looks great. Okay. But and it helps. I think he's a better looking man today. But
you don't want to compliment him too
much. Well, no, I don't want to compliment Fred. So here's the deal, though. Doc Linville, he's making everybody look better with hair. And if you're somebody that is, you know, follically challenged, if you don't have hair, if you're thinning, Doc can help you as well, because he can do the PRP and, you know, and generate growth in your head. So if you're looking for the best way. Now, the neo-grafting, if you're bald, it's spectacular. I did it. Fred did it. It's, you know, a few hours in the chair, and you're going to have hair for the rest of your life. And I can't thank him enough, because my hair looks wonderful, okay? I just flipped my hair back just now, and you didn't see it, but I did. So all you got to do is go to 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
ESPN 975.
Working on a weekend like usual. Way off in the deep end like usual. Swear they passed us, they doing too much. Haven't done my taxes, I'm too turned up.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
And here quickly, we were just asking, whose hair looks better, mine or Fred's? You got to say it. What?
He picked you.
He picked me because he's team me.
Yeah.
We're on a team together. You're not even taking your partner?
I'm on your team, too.
AJ said he's on your team, too.
My hair is better than Fred's. Yeah. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
See, that's not a great partner. You're not a great, you know what?
He can't lie. He can't lie. He said, I'm not a great partner. Hey, by the way, this is like a mess in here. Look, there's sticky stuff all over the, is this from y'all's
last week?
No, this is your happy hour mess.
Oh. Oh,
look at this.
Happy hour. Everybody gets drunk, pukes on the floor,
Lance's got to walk in.
You know what Joel's going to say?
Joel's going to blame me. You're going to blame me. Joel said you blame me for everything,
yeah.
John.
Yeah, I do.
He said I get blamed for everything. That Joel complains about, which is a lot.
They come in here after every show, and now they're bringing in the mop. They're cleaning up in here. So that's from something that happened
this
over
is the weekend.
It's not us.
Those filthy Josh Jordan,
Jerry Bell,
filthy whore.
I don't know if he's a whore.
That's not us. They came in with a mop after us.
Did anyone throw up on your thing?
No one threw up.
Oh, I thought anyone Trey come threw to? Up.
Trey was attempting to shotgun a beer.
Oh, no.
And he got overwhelmed, and he sort of regurgitated into the trash can. But he didn't actually vomit. He just couldn't finish shotgun. It was a 25-ounce shotgun.
Oh.
And he just couldn't finish it.
Well, that's a lot. How's Trey's mom?
She's a peach.
Is she?
Yeah. Trey's mom. My favorite thing that we unearthed about Trey's mom is that she has, her boyfriend's name is Steve, but she has a tramp stamp of her ex's name tattooed on her. And I said, does Steve not mind? And she's like, you know, I never really thought about it. I said, every time Steve does you dog style.
Ooh. Hold on a second. This is a conversation you had with his mom?
We interviewed her this on Happy Hour.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, no.
Well, you didn't say dog style.
I said dog style, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
We interviewed
her.
Did you ask her if
she had sex with Roger Staubach?
I did. That was the first, when we first called her.
You're going to be in so much trouble with the program director when he hears.
I know.
But you did?
We asked her if she did, because, I mean, let's face it, if Roger Staubach buys you a bicycle and then gives you $500 for your graduation, chances are good.
So he's your dad.
He's your dad. I mean, have you guys ever done that for anyone who's not your son?
No,
I sure have.
I'm not going to.
So I said, let's just get it out in the open now.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, your ex-husband, you're not married to him anymore. So you can just tell the truth. Trey is of the age where you won't have to, child support's done and gone. Sorry. Right. And she at first said yes, but then she said no, that didn't really happen.
It didn't happen?
I'm still pretty sure it did.
But Trey doesn't look anything, or he's not athletically
like
Roger Staubach.
No.
You know, the Heisman Trophy winner and Super Bowl winning quarterback. I don't know.
That's what I said.
It may be a bit of a stretch that Roger Staubach is Trey's dad.
When Roger finished with Trey's mom and she tried to cuddle.
Oh, no.
The Heisman race.
I can't listen to any more of this.
I'll give your son a bike and $500 for graduation. Don't call me.
When he finished with Trey's mom.
That was the buyout clause?
When they finished making love.
That's the buyout clause?
That was the buyout clause.
What kind of cheap dad is Raj? $500 and a bike and that's it?
He's not a dad.
Well, you should get more. He's saying he is.
If he's your dad, you should get more than a bike and $500.
This is just like potential. It's like, okay, so let's say on the off chance he is mine, here's $500 and a bicycle. And Trey's mom was like, you got to remember, Trey's mom's from like Deer Park or Baytown. She was like, awesome, let's go.
It's a bad like, negotiation.
Yeah, she was like, you know how many cigarettes I can buy with $500? And boom, that's what. But she did say she doesn't smoke anymore. She quit smoking, so good for her.
Yikes. That's a bit aggressive. You know what Trey's I would never do?
Introduce my mom to the Blitz.
Yeah, it's a terrible idea.
What's the matter?
During happy hour.
On a Friday.
Never do it.
Never.
We're reaching out to Bill O'Brien's mom, but no calls have been returned.
Oh, man.
We want to know where this is coming from.
Yeah. Thanks, AJ.
Hey, thank you, John.
By the way, my hair does look better than
Fred's. Looks great.
Better than Fred's. I don't think that's saying too much.
Now without tramp stamps.
Right.
What a Doug tramp stamp. By the way, did you see there's a new coaching candidate?
I did see
for
that.
For the Rockets, Mark Stein comes from the Stein line, says John Lucas.
I thought it was Mark Stein.
No, John Lucas is an emerging candidate in the Rockets search for a new head coach, league sources say. Mm. He's already on the team. He knows James. I don't think that's a culture change. I think that's the opposite of culture change. I think it is.
It'll be a collaborative effort. James, John Lucas.
I think it's him. It's the same as Kyrie and Kevin Durant. You get a collaboration.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Does James have any kind of a?
Can we change that to head collaborator?
Does he have any kind of addictive issues?
No.
Well. I mean, to booty, you would say. You would say to booty.
Is that really an addiction?
Depends on.
Is it really a problem? Oh yeah, it can be a big problem. You haven't seen people make terrible decisions due to that addiction? Oh yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I kind of feel like you're just living your best life.
Yeah, but it can be an addiction.
That is true. 713-780-3776. John Lucas. That would be interesting. The word I got was it's just going to be somebody that's not that expensive.
John Lucas.
Probably wouldn't be all that expensive.
You got that word?
Then why did we throw out cult? Why was culture change put out there? This isn't a culture change.
Unless
Luke can tell James what to do, it's just you're just finding a collaborator. That's all. But you really actually have to. You can't do anything too crazy. You can't rock the boat.
No.
What are you going to do? James is here. Russ is here. Eric Gordon is here. Now, if they were to trade James, that's a culture change if you traded James Harden, but I don't see that happening. Matter of fact, I truly believe that James is untouchable. I think it's a mistake, but I think James is untouchable.
Yeah, no. All that Daryl's ever said? Are you kidding me?
I think James puts butts in the seats, too.
Yeah, and I bet you if you asked Daryl more, he'd be like, would the Bulls trade James Harden? I mean, would the Bulls trade Michael Jordan? No.
No.
Because we hear those comparisons all the time about best scorer in history.
Yeah.
So he would say, would the Lakers trade LeBron? He holds him in that same stratosphere. So, no, he's not trading him.
Yeah, he does. No, he does. That's really – should we put him in the same – should we? Are you, though?
He should be, a three-time MVP?
Are you, though?
League scoring leader? Are you trading that guy? No, we're not.
Well, and everybody said, well, Ty Lue, well, he got LeBron. And immediately everybody goes, well, James ain't LeBron. Immediately.
He's not.
That's the first thing said.
He's not.
John Lucas, I mean, I don't whatever. I mean,
John Lucas is coach where you're at.
He's sitting on the bench. He's a great guy.
But listen,
I don't care who you're bringing in.
As long as James is here, what's the difference?
It doesn't matter.
Who's going to fix, quote unquote, fix things?
No,
because they don't think it's broken.
James and Russ, no. They think it's, well, I don't want to speak for anybody, but There are people that think it's broken.
Do the right people think it's broken?
No.
All right, then. So what does it matter?
Yeah. No. No, the right people don't think it's broken. And you know who's the right person is Daryl. And he doesn't think it's broken.
Yeah, if he doesn't think it's broken.
He believes. And you know what? Daryl's going to come out next year, and he's going to go, yes, we think that we're going to win a championship.
Well, he said they should be the favorites. He made a bit of a joke because he said we should win because Houston wins titles with asterisks.
Right.
So I met, and he said it before.
That, well, but during the year, I mean, before COVID.
He said it before.
They were both, Ted Tillman was on ESPN, and Daryl was on, and they were like, yes, we think we're going to win it all. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, I wouldn't have said that out
loud.
Here's the
deal, though. I think, though, that you'll look at it and say, maybe we're built to beat Golden State, but we ain't built to beat the Lakers. We ain't built to beat
they're not built to beat Golden State either.
They're not
built to beat a real team in the West, like a really good team in the West. I'm not sure they're built to beat the Nuggets in a postseason.
They were barely built to beat the Thunder, and if Lou Dort gets that shot off,
they were barely built to beat Lou Dort. And Lou Dort gave you 30 some odd points.
How are you going to beat a Lou Dort?
He's one block shot away from eliminating you, possibly.
How about this? Gilbert, this is not true. He said, this is why Daryl Morey needs to go. Tillman needs to sell U of H and just focus on owning one team. John, he can't sell U of H, can he? Can Tillman sell U of H?
Well,
he doesn't, he owns them, but he doesn't.
Kinda does.
He can't sell them, though, can he to another owner?
He does a little bit.
What kind of return on investment is Tillman getting when Houston, he couldn't host home games and Houston can't play football? It's a little rough for Tillman this year.
It has been. How about all these teams that are 3-0, 4-0? What is SMU now? 4-0. How about SMU bitten? But that was a good game. I told you that, right? That was the best game of the weekend.
We liked SMU to win, but yeah, it was a good game.
It was a
really
good game.
Fought back.
And how about them? How about them coming through? What are they, 4-0 now?
They're 4-0, yes.
Yeah, and U of H hasn't played a game.
Yeah, Florida Atlantic finally played a game. Now they struggled but beat Charlotte at home. I think Houston and Rice, are they the last two FBS teams who are scheduled to play? Like, who didn't have we're not playing and then we're coming back, like the Pac-12 and all those others? Are they the last two to not have played, Rice and Houston?
Yeah, probably.
I think so. I see a lot of teams who just got their first one this weekend.
Yeah.
And U of H, they took this weekend off because they got Thursday's game. We got Thursday game, bro. Tulane, let's go.
Well, let's make sure. Hopefully, Tulane doesn't screw it up.
Tulane and then BYU, dude. Their quarterback looks good. BYU looks good.
Let's hope the Rona's already run its course through Tulane players, so that they don't pop up like, oh, three positive tests.
Well, it's a conference game, so they have to make it up.
Yeah, but still, well, not playing would be a nightmare.
Thursday, Well, no, that would be a nightmare. 858 ESPN 97.5 someone 3780-3776.
Wait, make you want a drink? If your school couldn't keep every week, it's put off week after week after week. It's postponed. That's when you pull out the Blackland Distillery and you make yourself either a cocktail or you give yourself a good stiff pour. Because a good stiff pour from a bourbon or from a vodka or from the gin or from the rye of, you know, my good friends over at Blackland Distillery, it tastes great. And that's because they use methods that are tried and true, proven, but they're also at the front end, at the very high end of making sure that they get the distillation that is going to give you the very best flavors with subtle notes, but notes that come through on the front end and back end. And I'm telling you right now, they are a grain-to-glass distillery, and they're one of the only ones in the state of Texas, and you can taste the difference when you try Blackland Distillery. Go to blacklanddistillery.com, find a location where they have them near you, or simply go in and demand that your liquor store and restaurant start carrying Blackland Distillery.
At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks because they have three-layer nano silver protection. Order now at boomernaturals.com and use promo code ESPNHouston for 20% off.